Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, we're going to be diving into a furniture store and looking at how the stats and methodology applies to someone selling something with a much higher average order value. Last week, we looked at fashion. So it's going to be interesting to see how the model changes when we look at something in this market. So let's get started. Hi Ian, how are you?
Hello Mark, very well. How's it going?
Great. Good. Today we thought we'd continue the series of looking at, you know, different types of markets with the methodology. And this week we wanted to look at furniture because it's a little bit, it's a similar non-rational purchase compared to fashion, which we did last week, but actually the metrics change a lot and you actually are dealing with a much different business in terms of the KPIs and the way you would look at it. So I thought that was quite a good contrast. So
yes,
we've actually grown quite a few furniture businesses from scratch, if I'm thinking rightly. And so how you launch those businesses and how you move them forward after 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, changes slightly. But I think the most important things are the objection handling. So do you want to kick off maybe, Ian, about how the add to basket differs for furniture shops?
Yeah, sure. So I think the interesting thing, furniture obviously naturally tends to be a higher average order value than obviously something like fast fashion. So, you know, you're looking at average order values that can be, you know, 100 to 200, 300, 400 pounds, depending on what you're selling. So the higher the average order value, typically the longer the buying window or the longer it takes to buy, because it's more of a considered purchase. So you generally expect the stats to be lower. So when we say stats, we mean conversion rate, which of course we break down into the three things: add to basket, basket to checkout, checkout to order. So on average, we say that across normal e-commerce sites with an average order value that's average, let's say it's £80 and a reasonable lifetime customer value, you would expect your add to basket stat to be 10% of the people that are in the basket, 55% would go to the checkout, and when they're in the checkout, 85% would buy. They're the normal stats. That gives a conversion rate of about 5%. But for furniture, it's lower. So we're seeing a good add-to-basket stat really around 5 or 6% for a good site. And then when they're in the basket, normally it's about 40 to 45% basket to order rate. And the checkout to order again is lower. So normally it's about 70%. So, you know, we're taking it so from 10% to about 5%. And the reason why the add to basket stat is the lower stat is because you have a lot of window shopping. You know, it takes a longer time for people to buy. So you have a lot of people just browsing, having a look. So generally it tends to be these stats are also affected by, you get a lot of people looking on the mobile but don't buy. And then coming back and buying on their desktop. And I think there's a couple of really interesting nuances to it all that we found quite interesting is that for bigger pieces of furniture, it's obviously a collaborative discussion in the family. You're not just going to go and buy a big sofa without consulting your partner. And it's a challenge for attribution because you have this conversation around the dinner table, don't you?
Mm.
Go on, you, might send, you would, well, yeah, you might talk about it the other day.
Yeah, you might send a link to, you know, I would never buy anything that big without my wife's approval. God forbid if that turned up, and you know, she would certainly want it. So you're going to send a link to each other, you know, maybe on WhatsApp and different mediums, and then that's going to be a bit of a back and forth. So therefore, it's very difficult for Google or Facebook or anybody to actually be able to track, you know, who's looking at what and which is the same purchase. So when we were
Facebook will track everything. Claim everything, won't it?
It will claim everything, but even Facebook will miss it because it's a different person coming to the site, and who it might be, you know, it might be the your wife that actually that decides to buy it, but actually the husband who actually does the purchase, or it might be the other way around. You don't know who's the person in the family who tends to actually, you know, make the decision, because, you know, the wife might say, well, I'll get it because I need to check the delivery date because to make sure that's right, etc. Mm. Or maybe the man does it, you don't know. So
yeah,
it's gonna
I think the other thing around the add to basket stat, it's often the real key one is the add to basket stats. Well, they're all key, of course, but what we've seen is that, say you're Googling red sofa or red wingback chair, you're not going to, and it's one of the famous things that we always talk about, is that the fact that a product page cannot be a dead end page. And it's so important for furniture, because it's obviously, you know, if you Google red sofa and you click through on a Google Shopping image, and Google Shopping really is where it tends to be, a lot of the traffic coming from Google Shopping, it's product specific, you're not going to buy the first red sofa that you land on. Even if you love that red sofa you land on, you're not going to buy the first one. You need to know whether or not there's other things you'll love more. So product page cannot be a dead end page. If it is a dead-end page, your bounce rate for Google Shopping is going to be 85, 90%, and it's just going to kill you. You just will not be able to get a return on your Google Shopping. And, I mean, Wayfair is a quite a famous one where, and actually Made.com now do this, and we've done this with a lot of our clients. Essentially, rather than taking people to a normal product page from Google Shopping, you take them to a dynamic product page that has lots and lots of similar red sofas, almost like a category page. So you've got the red sofa at the top. Of course, you have to let people buy the product they land on from Google Shopping, otherwise Google won't let you do it. But underneath that, you've got, you know, the whole category of similar red sofas, and the pages are dynamic. And that, when we did that for some of our clients, it's a game changer, you know, because what does it do? It reduces the bounce rate because you don't have to then go back into Google. You've got lots more things for them to click through on. Reduces the bounce rate, which increases the add to basket, which increases the conversion, which increases revenue. Mm. So that's really important. So the tendency for bouncing is really high. And then I think you because the buying window is so long, you know, let's say you're buying a problem-solving rational purchase, like, you know, a car battery. You need it now. You know, you've got like 4 hours to make the sale. So someone comes on the site for a car battery, you know, you literally have 4 hours. Whereas for a big sofa, a big furniture, high average order value piece, you've got to have a mechanism to keep in contact with them. And of course, the best one is the email. But of course, there's lots of remarketing things you can do. But we often use the you know, the trick to give them a coupon for the email address.
Mm. So you're talking about welcome series.
Yeah. But hey, why don't you talk through Mojo? Because I'm skipping ahead.
Yes. Well, I was just wanted to, because we didn't quite finish the point we were talking about with the, you know, the people sitting around the table and going back and forth, and the attribution and what that effect is. It basically, it means that you cannot track your sales completely in AdWords, because AdWords gives you an incomplete picture. The big people who I've seen who've been successful, maybe turning over, you know, over 10 million a year, and they tend to have one big spend in terms of marketing spend, which usually is on AdWords. And then they, rather than tracking the sales in AdWords, they'll track the sales overall in Google Analytics, because they'll go, okay, I've spent more on this campaign. Have I got more sales on those, you know, overall, rather than looking in AdWords? The difficulty is with that is that Google's algorithms is based around what it sees in the account. So sometimes it's actually better to do a lot of more things manually rather than using some of the smart campaigns. But that's an aside. If we go back to the mojo, the first one, the M, is the market square test. So you know, if you're selling furniture, what you really want to do is find the one or two people to emulate. Now, you know, a lot of the times we say people come to us with 10 competitors saying, these are my competitors, and we look at them and we go, actually, there's only one of those that's actually really killing it on paid traffic, and that they're the ones that you want to emulate. So it's first of all finding that person who has cracked, probably in the case of furniture, Google Shopping, Google AdWords, and is doing really, really well with it. And then once you've got that one singled out, you can then start to see, you know, what they're doing, you know, what kind of returns policy they've got, because that's a huge thing. The reason the decision window goes up a lot for furniture is because the anxiety goes up when you're spending that much money and online. Because, you know, if you're buying a sofa, you can't sit on it until it arrives. So there's going to be so many questions that people have on the product page that you need to answer. So it's the market square and starting to see how the competitor has dealt with those big issues. And we were looking at one the other day, and it was like, well, your competitor's offering free no quibble returns, and you're hiding your returns in your terms and conditions. And it's confusing. Yeah. So, you know, it's once you kind of see who's winning, those kind of things kind of just jump out to you, and you go, well, okay, I might be reluctant to offer that free returns policy because I'm seeing it from an operations point, and I think people will just take advantage of other stuff. But if you actually look from a marketing point of view, the uplift might be so huge that it pays for those annoyances that you will get. I mean, you have to test it as well. I mean, you could do it and you go, well, this isn't worth it.
But and then you turn it off. Exactly. Yeah. You see, you know, you test it. And if you go, oh, my God, this is, you know, because the worst case scenario is, well, it's done really well. So you go, bloody hell. You know, we're having to change our returns. But you know that people are anxious about the returns. And then you can turn it into a messaging. So you could say things like, if people are really anxious about delivery, because with furniture, people tend to be anxious about delivery. So you can say things like fast, live, tracked delivery. You know, you're not saying it's like going to come next day, but you're going to say fast, live, tracked delivery, and that can become like a real USP. So you then, of course, you put that in the right places it needs to be. It needs to be on the product page, next to the add to basket button. It needs to be on the basket page, right next to each item. So you're squashing the anxieties.
People need to be in to get furniture. So therefore, I've seen a lot of good furniture sites saying like real live time tracking, so people can actually see where the parcel is, so they know when they have to be home. Whereas if they're buying something small like a hair extension, they'll just say, "Oh, leave it on the doorstep. I don't care. I don't need to be there." Yeah. So it's more of a thing. They definitely need to be there to get it. So yeah. Then the Mojo architecture, the Mojo methodology, the O. Is the offer architecture. And what I've seen from much more successful furniture ones is, first of all, before I say this, I'd say, you know, if you want to do these discounts, but not look like a discounter. So you've got to do it in a beautiful way, because it is an aspirational purchase. But the ones who are most successful have a reason why you would buy that furniture today rather than tomorrow. Because that long buying window, people can take a huge amount of time to buy furniture and eventually not decide to do it. And, you know, because they've obviously got something that they're using at the moment. Like, I've got a sofa in my lounge that I will replace at some point, and I keep going around furniture shops and having a look, but I could put it off for years. Mm. And so therefore it's, you have to have the, what they do is they have countdown offers, things that, that mean they're going to miss out today. And it looks like it's, there's a little bit of pressure to actually buy something right now. And the sale offer architecture is really, really well worked out. And it's slick.
And it can be also that you can do this with exclusive limited edition pieces too. So you can say, look, essentially we're saying you've got to give people a reason to buy sooner rather than later. There's got to be a reason. Otherwise, because it's something you, they don't need to go and spend £1,000 on this sofa. They could go and get one for probably £200, but they want it. So you've got to give them a reason in fear of missing out.
So if you have a popular material, you could say, we're only going to be doing this sofa in our popular material for this week or something like that. And then people go, oh, I love that material. Mm. I really like that on that chair. I have to get it this week.
Most of it is your own. It's your own brand, and of course, the biggest leverage you've got with your own brand is your pricing architecture. Mm. You know that you can put the prices up to be able to do things like free delivery, or a better welcome offer. You know, I mean, there's some fantastic examples of huge big brands who do this really well. I mean, Brooklinen is a company in America which is not furniture related, but they're selling sheets and bedding and things like that. You know, high ticket items, and they're very clever. You know, everyone. Mm. You know, when you come to the site, there's always a reason to buy now.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a reason why there's an offer on, and it's beautifully done and designed. And it's really nice, and that's
done in a way that doesn't look like Black Gold Pleasure Beach.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's
absolutely.
It's subtle. But it's communicated clearly, but at the same time, it has the same effect. So,
the main thing is really is that what we're saying is we don't think the was and the now / price through model works particularly well, and it's better if it's the sale is dynamically related to that person coming in, so, and it's presented in that way that it's almost like, well, everyone else is paying full price, and I've got a deal here. You know, and it's that feeling that keeps the brand value high. But it, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's because you remember there's three main ways we talk about scaling an e-commerce business. It's either the branded influencer route, it's having a product that solves a unique problem, or the last one is the offer architecture. And they're the three key ones. And really, with furniture, you know, can't really go down the branded route unless you've, you know, you're going to pay Prince Harry to sit on a chair. You know,
I think you have to some extent. You have to, they have to have that desirability in the brand, and people do build that up. But I mean, are you talking about a startup if you're really small?
Well, or? I'm thinking about, well, look, you know, Made.com. I mean, Made.com really, you know, they picked very, you know, key looks and trends, didn't they? And then went to the factories and said, you know, but maybe this. So, you know, the value, you know, it was a product that people fell in love with, and the way it looked. And their main reason for scaling was the fact that their prices were cheap because they were going direct. They're going direct to source. And that was what their whole USP was.
Yeah.
So really, that was the offer architecture.
Yeah,
wasn't it? It wasn't solving a problem that no one else could solve, and they didn't have a brand at that stage, so they went down the route. It's only now they've got a brand because everyone knows who they are. But
So let's go and do the J and the mojo, and the J is the job to be done. And I think that particularly with furniture, you have to think about that a lot, because that's going to come across in your image. So if you think about a job you've done for furniture, you're not buying a piece of wood to sit in your kitchen. You're actually the job you want to get done is a happy family meal, a happy family experience, if you're buying a kitchen table, for example. And once you've had that happy family experience, you will know the job has been done. Like if you sat at the table, everybody's had a nice time, the table's been right and it's looked good and it's inviting, and it sets the whole thing off. And that's kind of what people are actually wanting to buy when they are looking for a piece of furniture. They're not looking for the actual individual, you know, atoms that the, makes up the wood. They're looking for the experience that that provides. So whenever you're selling anything like an armchair, a table, you know, a bed, you have to think about what people are actually buying. What is the job that they're buying? And also, what is doing that job for them at the moment that you're going to have to replace? So once you've dug into that, and there are methods for digging into that, and it's not always as, I mean, you'll think about furniture, you'll think, oh, I know the job, I know it's obvious. But actually, if you take time to really understand the mindset about why, let's say it's beds, why someone chooses to upgrade their bed. Now, that would be probably because they have got sick of getting a bad back, or they've got a bad sleep, or, you know, you can understand those triggers. And then, therefore, you can talk to those jobs that people need to be done, rather than saying, oh, this bed's made of really good quality material and stuff like that. You can, which you need to say as well. But you need to say, look, people who, you know, there's some testimonials here of saying, oh, since I bought this bed, my sleep's been so much better. I'm so much more relaxed. You know, my life's turned around. I'm just getting a lot more sleep. You know, it's communicating that job to be done across the frequently asked questions, across the testimonials, product copy, and most importantly, in the images.
Yeah. I think there's something really important about that job to be done as well, because we often find that furniture-related products, if somebody's going to buy again, you know, second purchase, something else, they do so quite quickly. And that makes a lot of sense if you consider this next point, that if someone is buying a, you know, a coffee table, for example, it means that they're in the mode of doing up the house. It might be that they're going to sell the house, or they're renovating it for some reason. And so they tend to then, you know, that they are in the mode of doing up their living room, for example. So then they're looking at other stuff. And so they come back and buy again. And so, you know, you don't have to think, oh, well, they're not going to buy again for 6 months, because they're not going to buy coffee tables every year, are they? No, but they are buying other stuff, because they know that they want to do the house up for whatever reason. And then in 6 months' time, there'll be some other problem that's going on, you know, problem with the car or whatever. But it's so, essentially, we're saying that you can really, if you really should hit them hard with the repeat purchase stuff straight away. You know, immediately
they're in the buying mode.
Yeah, they're in that, exactly. So that's, I think that's really key.
Because they might have bought a second house, a holiday house, and obviously then they've got a lot of things to fill that house in, or they might have done an extension, or, you know, they will have that buying window probably for 2 to 3 weeks or 4 weeks after they've made the purchase. And that's where,
you know, you can do this with obviously the remarketing in Facebook, Instagram. You know, you can have a post-purchase campaign, you know, rather than just having a, you know, right, they bought, let's stop. But for furniture people, no, you carry on. And it's the messaging could change. And obviously you've got email as well. I think that's really key.
And also, I think because it's a high average order value, you know, some of the furniture sites I've seen, the average order value about £1,500. You know, when it's that high, you have time to engage with the customers more. You can have good live chat conversations. You can follow up on the phone to people and make sure that they're okay with it, that it's been delivered okay. You can talk to those people, because by talking to people, you're going to get so much more information about why they're buying, what the market's thinking at the moment, and what else they considered. And actually reaching out and starting to have those conversations. And in the course that we do, in there is a lot of modules that actually help start those conversations, particularly on the abandoned basket series. because
I think just touching on that, because I was chatting to a client the other day that had an average order value of about £400, selling typical furniture pieces, sofas and side tables and things, and their basket to order stat was hovering around the 13%. And wow. I mean, obviously that's really, really low. But because the average order value was £400, you know, a small change to that basket to order stat is an absolute game changer. I mean, you know, to get them from 13% up to 16%, I mean, it's huge, huge change. I mean, it's not, you know, it's like nearly £1 million worth of revenue for this particular client. And people are adding things to their basket and then, you know, leaving it there as a way of saving it for later. And, you know, there's a lot of anxiety on that page. And a lot of people make the mistake of leaving their shopping basket just completely blank, thinking that the sale, that it is just a functional page. And it's like, no. Imagine if somebody came in to your, if you had a physical shop on the high street and you've got your furniture pieces in there, your side tables, whatever it might be, and you've got a customer that's coming in and they've been in your shop a couple of times, and you know, they're really looking at something, sitting on it, discussing it, you know. And what would you say to them if you were there and you could see them? You'd probably go to the, say something like, yeah, that is a beautiful side table, isn't it? It's really, really popular. It's selling so, so well. And it's an exclusive limited edition, so we don't know how many we're going to get. You know, you probably should buy it because it's probably going to go. And look, you know, if you get it in your house, you don't like it, it's fine. You bring it back. It's like, no problem. But I know you're going to love it. And look, if you buy now, look, I'll give you £50 off as a welcome to our, you know, our company. You know, you know, do you want it? And, you know, but you come back next week and actually it's you're probably going to miss out. And actually, you know, A, you won't have it, and B, it's probably good. I'll probably put the price up. You know, that's what you'd say. And actually, look, we'll deliver it to your house, you know, with a white glove service, and you can track it. Hey, look, you can track it all the time. You know, we'll drop off. When would you like us to come? You know, what suits you? What time? You know, you go through all these problems and you get the sale. And that's what you have to do online. You've got to do the same thing.
Well, we've kind of like you're on the last O of the mojo, which is your objections, which is very key for furniture and finding out what they are. And one technique that we're using that's really successful at the moment is, if we can understand the main objection people have at that stage, so let's say on the basket page, you discover that for your furniture, the big question people are having is, how will this get delivered? You can then preempt that with your live chat and ask them that question. You know, so asking them the question they're already thinking elicits a response so much more than just kind of saying live chat, here's live chat. So the question might be, for furniture, you know, are you worried about how this will be delivered? And then that could be the question. So a good example I'm looking at this week is for a company doing paint coatings. They do paint coatings of walls and all that kind of stuff. And the big questions they have is, how much do I need to buy of this paint to do my job? And so the question you would ask would be, are you wondering how much of this product you'll need? And that if you imagine that question, is going to get a response so much more than just having live chat sitting at the bottom. And the reason you want to get people engaged is because people who engage, you see it on the live chat, because a lot of live chats have a Google Analytics event that triggers. As soon as they're engaged, their conversion rate shoots up. So if you've got a high average order value, you want people to talk to you, because if you've got a basket to order rate of 13%, adding small amounts of percentage points to increase that makes a huge difference to your revenue over the year. The same thing with add to basket. If you've got add to basket 2% and you make it to 3%, you've increased your sales by 30%, 33%. It's massive. So these little things can make such a difference in terms of your overall profitability from your paid market spend. And the cost of attribution, sorry, the cost of of recruitment on Facebook and Google is only going to go up over time. So you've got to be mining your traffic for more and more profit as you go forward.
Yeah. It's so important. I think really with fashion related, you know, you've got to get them off Google Shopping and onto your site. And when they're on the site, you it's then about the offer architecture and going through the anxieties and squashing those. But of course, it's your images have got to be good. You know, you've got to focus on those. You've got to make sure that's right. And the best way to really learn who's scaling well is to look at who is consistently spending well on paid search. And we've said that before, but it really is, you know, it's do or die in a lot of respects. You know, that's essentially, if you know, a lot of companies have, you know, or they've done some Google Shopping, they've done some paid search, oh, it didn't work. And it's like, well, that's the equivalent of somebody coming into a shop on high street and saying, hi, have you got any grey, corner tables? And you go, yeah, actually, we've got loads of all over there. Look, yeah, we specialise in grey corner tables. And the customer then just walks out of the shop and shuts the door. You'd be like, what? What's going on?
Yeah.
So you've got to get it right. And but it might just be that you need to focus on the niche and go through the market square tests again. Make sure that's right. Make sure, are we competitive? Is the value proposition right? Is our delivery right? Is our returns right? What are the anxieties that people have? You know, the objective, the offer setting, the reasons to buy.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think we've covered quite a lot of ground there. And I think we'll finish right there. But if you have enjoyed the podcast, please let us know. And give us a review give us a review on your podcast one. That'd be really nice.
It would be good feedback. Actually, because we're really seeing there's a lot of people listening to these things, actually, because we can see how many stats. I mean, it's really growing nice, isn't it? But I don't think we have any reviews at all.
No, usually when I say get some reviews, you go and review it yourself, which is...
Yeah, I just normally press the stars, which is a bit weird. So,
I got our book. The first review of a book was like, probably a bit biased. I'm like, Ian, you shouldn't review your own book.
No.
That's not good.
No. I just wanted to see if it was working.
And then it's there for eternity. Anyway, so if you are enjoying it, give us a review and also reach out to us if the kind of topics you'd like us to focus on. That'd be really great. And obviously watch our case study, which is in the show notes. And get on the email list, which talks about the updates to the podcast, the bonus episodes we're doing. So we've got some quite exciting people coming on, which we are looking forward to getting into. So thank you very much, and we'll speak to you next time.
Thanks, guys.